A man crashes his car into a semi-truck. His body lies crushed, pronounced dead by paramedics. Yet 90 minutes later, he returns to life with an impossible story. He stood at heaven's gates, embraced by his grandfather, greeted by childhood friends long deceased. Crazy? Perhaps. Except thousands of people across every continent, culture, and creed tell remarkably similar tales. They describe tunnels of light, deceased relatives, a being radiating unconditional love, and landscapes more vivid than anything earthly eyes have seen. What if these aren't hallucinations or oxygen-starved brain misfires, but glimpses through death's doorway? Modern medicine's ability to resuscitate the clinically dead has inadvertently created a global laboratory for studying the afterlife, and the data is staggering. Nearly 13 million Americans have experienced near-death experiences. That's not fringe spirituality. That's a statistical phenomenon demanding serious attention. What convinced hardened skeptics like cardiologist Dr. Michael Sabam wasn't mysticism, but precision. Patients accurately described their own resuscitations, the force of chest compressions, the exact angle of needle insertions, bodies jumping from defibrillation shocks. These weren't lucky guesses. When Dr. Penny Sartori tested cardiac patients who didn't report NDEs, they couldn't describe their resuscitations accurately. Those who did report out-of-body experiences recalled details with surgical precision. Consider the 5-year-old meningitis patient who, while comatose, met a sister she'd never been told existed, describing her perfectly. Or Vicky, blind from birth with zero visual concepts, who suddenly saw during her NDE, describing her lifeless body and the hospital room's layout with accuracy that left doctors speechless. Over 900 peer-reviewed articles and studies of 3,500 NDEs reveal consistent patterns: out-of-body experiences, tunnels, deceased relatives, life reviews, reluctant returns. These experiences occur during flat EEGs when brain function has ceased. After 3 decades examining every alternative explanation, researchers like Dr. Jeffrey Lung reach a simple conclusion: consciousness continues after death. Heaven offers a perfected version of yourself. Dr. Mary Neal, who drowned kayaking, described shedding her physical body like shaking off a heavy outer layer. What remained felt more alive. Marv Besteman felt like a teenager again. Aches vanished, energy boundless. Gary Wood met his decapitated high school friend, now complete and radiant. When Gary returned, x-rays confirmed he had no vocal cords, yet he speaks and sings. These bodies shine with inner light, translucent yet solid, ageless yet recognizable. The blind see, the paralyzed run. Children who died young appear as thriving adults. Everyone radiates varying degrees of glory, living luminescence reflecting how openly they allowed God to work through them on earth. Our deepest fear about heaven isn't boredom, it's losing the people we love. NDEs reveal the opposite. Heaven amplifies love beyond earthly constraints. Don Piper, crushed by an 18-wheeler, found himself surrounded by a celestial welcoming committee, his grandfather Joe calling him Donnie, childhood friends beaming with radiant joy. Jesus's teaching about no marriage in heaven has been misunderstood. He wasn't erasing family bonds, but explaining new marriages won't form since there's no procreation. Existing relationships deepen. Jeff Olson, who lost his wife and infant son Griffin, experienced this during his NDE. Running on healthy legs, he found Griffin in a crib, felt his warmth, breathed in his scent. A powerful presence enveloped him in light, and Jeff willingly placed his son in God's hands. This wasn't loss, it was profound peace. Heaven fulfills Jesus' prayer for complete unity. You remain distinctly yourself, yet experience profound oneness with others. Connections so deep, you feel others' emotions and experience love as a tangible force binding everything together. Heaven sounds like fantasy because we've got it backwards. Earth isn't the original, it's the shadow. Heaven is the solid reality from which our world derives its pale reflection. When NDEers transition, many describe passing through a tunnel, emerging into a landscape so vivid that Earth seems like a faded photograph by comparison. Brad Barrows, blind since birth, had an NDE at age 8. Suddenly, he saw, his lifeless body below, his blind roommate seeking help, snow-covered landscapes outside. Then he emerged into a vast field with palm trees and tall grass, bathed in all-penetrating light that eliminated shadows entirely. Colors exist there beyond our spectrum, dancing through the atmosphere. Even the colorblind report seeing hues they've never imagined. The landscape features grass greener than pristine turf, flowers unnamed on Earth, crystal-clear streams winding through trees bearing impossible fruit. Vision expands beyond earthly limits. 360-degree spherical sight, telescope-like focus on distant objects, the ability to see anywhere instantly at the speed of thought. This isn't ethereal mist. It's solid ground, flowing water, and tangible beauty that makes Earth's most breathtaking vistas seem like rough sketches. The highlight of every NDE isn't the landscape or reunions, it's encountering the being of light. Nearly half of NDEers report meeting a mystical presence radiating indescribable love that dwarfs all earthly affection. His voice sounds like rushing waters or thunderous wind, yet gentle and intimate, exactly as the prophet Ezekiel described millennia ago. The paradox? He sees every moral failure, every selfish act, every hidden shame, yet radiates compassion rather than condemnation. During life reviews, experiencers see their actions with ripple effects through time, feeling both the pain they caused and joy they brought. Howard Storm's review focused entirely on relationships, skipping his proudest achievements. When he complained, Jesus responded, "That's not what we're here for you to see." Seemingly insignificant kindnesses mattered profoundly, while worldly achievements were ultimately insignificant. NDERs consistently describe Jesus' eyes as piercing yet captivating, like flaming torches that see everything yet make you want to reveal everything. Vicky, blind from birth, described eyes that permeated every part of her. These eyes don't condemn, they invite. They know the worst about you and love you anyway. The journey to heaven varies. Some arrive instantly, others travel through tunnels. Most enter through paradise, a beautiful, earth-like country surrounding the city of God. Ed describes glowing grass, vibrant trees, wildly hued flowers, and crystal-clear air that tastes sweet. Everything shines with internal light. The city itself is an immense cube, layered walls hundreds of feet tall, gates of pearl, streets of transparent gold-like crystal. Upon entering, visitors see the Tree of Life alongside the River of Life, bearing different fruit each month that instantly replenishes when picked. Multiple NDERs report swimming in the River of Life, which flows from God's throne. The water tastes sweet, cleanses debris from the transition, and allows breathing underwater. People emerge completely dry. At the city's center stands God's throne, a massive structure hundreds of miles wide, approached by thousands of steps where millions worship. Before it stretches a vast sapphire platform like a sea of glass where countless people gather. Heaven isn't static worship, it's thriving and festive. Children of every race play with Jesus while lions frolic like kittens. Teenagers who died prematurely laugh in crystal pools. Families feast celebrating life with the giver of life. Creative expression, music, dance, and artistic celebration overflow, making Earth's creativity seem merely a shadow of what's to come. Crystal never felt loved. Childhood abuse left her convinced she was unworthy of affection. Then, during her NDE, she experienced being bathed in love, a brightness she not only saw but felt. Everything was utterly intense, pure, perfect, and peaceful. What struck her most was how familiar it felt, like something I remembered. In heaven, she finally knew I was home. Your view of heaven affects everything: your priorities, willingness to sacrifice, perspective on suffering, and what you fear. Many live materialistic, self-centered lives precisely because they can't imagine heaven well enough to live for it. God promises to reward those who diligently seek Him and build up others spiritually. While the world values money and prestige, God notices when we serve the neglected, outcast, and marginalized. Life reviews show every action creates ripple effects through relationships and generations. All our work matters to God when we do it to please Him. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. What will we do with all God has entrusted to us? All creation experiences birth pains, awaiting the day when God's children will be revealed in glory. Life is a birth canal into eternity. God allows suffering because genuine love requires freedom. It cannot be forced. He never promises a pain-free life, but promises to overcome evil and bring good from suffering. One day, He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Heaven never ends. It's just the beginning. Earth's history was merely the prelude to the real story now unfolding. Every struggle, every act of faith produces an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. The life you are meant to live is just beginning. Death isn't the end. It's the doorway home.